We got a young lady in the studio who is very talented when it comes to basketball. She is also, in a sense, a pioneer. I think anybody that grew up with the Harlem Globetrotters remembers that experience. I know I did. My parents used to take me to the Globies games every year when they would come into town when my stepfather was in the Air Force in a little town in Illinois. Well, they're still going strong, and Tammy Brawner is with us. She is the 10th woman in the 87-year history of the Globies, and only the third in the last 20 years to play for them. I think most people are interested that maybe don't know enough about the Globetrotters to understand their unique history in sports. Tammy, give me a little bit about the background and what you remember first and foremost about them when you were growing up as a kid.
Well, the Globetrotters are definitely innovators of the game. That's what we do. And by having women on a professional men team, that's part of what we consider innovation as well. I got a chance to see the Globetrotters play at the Oracle Arena, where I'll be playing this weekend myself, and I won't be sitting in the seats that I once watched them play. So it's definitely a good feeling.
What do you remember first and foremost about them? The first time you saw them, what did you come away with from that experience?
I was amazed. I was taking just some of the things that I seen them do with the basketball. It's like, is that fake? Is it magic? What is it? Because you just don't think people can do those type of things with the basketball.
You grew up in the Oakland area, and you played high school basketball at Skyline. And I always think that women you know, they're always compared to the men. I've heard everybody talk about how the men's game is above the rim and everything. Tell me a little bit about your introduction to basketball and why you gravitated to that sport.
Well, it started when I was in elementary school. I just remember being on the schoolyard. You know, my mom used to have to be to work early, so she dropped me off, you know, very, very early at school. Be a few guys playing on the yard, working out, shooting, and one guy just kind of threw the ball at me one time, you know, and I'm like, I mean, what do you want me to do with this? I don't want to play. Like, I'm just trying to sit here till school starts. Threw it back. He threw it back at me again, you know, and it kind of hurt it. So I kind of got up and like, hey, you know, what's going on? So, you know, we started to play and I realized I was a competitor because I didn't back down to him. And I realized I was also kind of talented. So from there, I just loved the game.
There is always a challenge when it comes to men against women in sport. You're shaking your head. Yeah. Yes. What was that like for you, especially with the rule of the playground?
You're right.
What was that like?
It's always been fun. It's been challenging. I mean, guys, of course, think that they're better than girls and superior to girls in athletics. But it's wonderful because anything that I do good is like my Super Bowl. You know, I mean, I just do one move and everybody's running off the floor. You know, like, oh, my God, you let a girl cross you. And so it kind of works for me.
I was just going to ask you about your best remembrance of a playground experience. Something in a game or something against somebody playing horse.
Yeah, well, I made a guy fall. This is in all honesty. I was at 24-Hour Fitness in Oakland on High Street, and we were playing, and I made a guy fall. And everybody just kind of, like, ran out the gym, and some people had it on record. And he came back the next day, and he said he had to go to the doctor to check on his ankle. You know? So as a ball handling, as a basketball player, you kind of dream of those kind of things, like really breaking someone's ankle.
How does someone know, especially in the playground world, in the playground game, that they've gotten respect of those that are out there playing with them?
When people pick you on their team. You know, it's a line of guys over here, and they say, I want you on my team.
Well, for you, as beautiful as you are, I mean, I can imagine you being taken first. But what is it that makes the playground game so special? I remember talking to Chris Mullin about this, grew up in New York, talking to a number of other players that played the playground game. And I think from a sports visual standpoint, I think it's playing basketball on the playground in the summer. I used to ask the guys that grew up in New York, I said, I'm going to give you a scene. 90 degrees, 90% relative humidity, 5 skins, 5 shirts, you're playing on the blacktop in New York. What was that like? And boy, their eyes get big and they start going into, yeah, give me your perspective on that.
Definitely playing on, I mean, that's where it starts for a lot of us, is out on the streets in the playground. So, you know, it's always something when you think about it, it's like, wow, you know, like we play out on the streets, you know, it's dangerous. You're playing on concrete. I mean, if you fall, you can really hurt yourself. I mean, I broke my first wrist on concrete. So, you know, for me, it's just like the thrill of, you're outdoors playing and, you know, anything goes. Anything goes. I mean, they let you carry for the most part and it's whatever you want to do.
And no foul unless you're bleeding, right?
No foul, yeah. Oh, no.
Only if you're bleeding.
Not even if you're a girl.
How did they used to try to intimidate you? What are some of the things the boys would do?
After a while, after they, you know, sometimes when I step on the court, it's like, oh, I'm not going to really guard her until they realize, oh, I'm going to go at you. So you better go back at me. So, you know, to try to get me off the court sometimes, you know, one-on-one fast breaks, guys are going to go up and try to dunk on me. I'm smart. I'm just going to move out the way. I'm not going to jump with some guys.
I can assume from people listening to you around the world, they're going to tell that you have a very strong personality. But I would also think that the game of basketball requires not only strength but also finesse as well. Because you have that aggressive attitude, have you had to learn a little bit of finesse?
Definitely. Because if you come off too aggressive, people try to get under your skin because they understand that you're a competitor and you're not going to back down. So finesse is important. It's a big part of my game. I'm not really a bump and physical type of person. I'm more of a try to slide by you, get some separation type of player.
Why the Globetrotters?
The things that they do off the court. You see right here, I have a pink basketball. This basketball is not because I'm a woman carrying around a pink basketball. But it represents that we are going out this year and we are fighting breast cancer. So this basketball, and we'll also be selling wristbands, and a portion of those proceeds will go towards the Susan G. Komen Fund.
When you look at the Globetrotters and think about how now you're a part of them, first of all, give me the story about how you ended up being a Globetrotter.
Okay. Well, I went to Cal State Northridge, got my BA there. I didn't play there by choice. I decided that I didn't want to play at the moment. I went to Dominican University, and I said, hey, I'm a basketball player. I need to be playing. I got my NBA there. While playing there, you know, I had a good season, all-conference player, got a highlight tape, got an agent. They sent it to the Globetrotters. The Globetrotters liked what they saw. They called me in for a workout. The only thing that was different about this workout from any other workout that I've been to is that I was playing against men instead of women.
Now, when you say playing against them, anybody that's seen a Globetrotters presentation knows it's somewhat of a routine. It's an entertainment game as well. Was that hard for somebody who's a serious athlete like you to get into that?
Not at all. I mean, in workout, I mean, it was competitive. We didn't do anything that was, you know, entertainment style. I mean, it was, can you play basketball? Because that's the first thing you have to know how to do. And everything else becomes second nature to you because you're just used to handling the basketball. But you're right. We do have an entertainment style of everything that we do. But we are very competitive at the same time, and you can really tell when it gets really competitive throughout the game.
And what adjustments have you had to make and have your teammates had to make with you in the lineup?
Not much. I mean, like I said, it's all basketball. For me, the biggest adjustment is probably just becoming more innovative, you know, with the basketball, kind of thinking of new things that's going to make the fans ooh and aah.
I never knew a team that lost every game until I saw the Washington Generals. And the Generals, of course, was a competition for many, many years against the Harlem Globetrotters. Tell me about the people that you guys play now, the teams you play now.
Yeah, well, the Washington Generals are out of there. They got rid of them. We're playing against the Global Select this year.
Uh-oh, what is that?
It's a different team. But in my opinion, you know, we're just a better team, so they don't really stand a chance.
Tell me about the travel a little bit, about what you have seen that maybe you would not have seen if you hadn't joined the Globetrotters, because they have such a great history of playing in places that other people would never think of.
Exactly. One thing that was wonderful to me, the day after Thanksgiving, I left to go on a military tour, and we visited Afghanistan, Kuwait, Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, and Djibouti. And the wonderful thing about this is that a lot of those troops don't get a chance to get home to their families. They're fighting on the line for us. So we were able to bring a piece of home to them. And the most unique place out of all of those were Afghanistan by far. Just because, one, you see a lot about it on the news and the TV, but to actually be there and experience it for yourself, it was wonderful.
Incoming has a total different meaning in Afghanistan, does it not?
Definitely. You don't want to hear that.
I say that because having been there myself six times to Iraq and Afghanistan, getting ready to go to Cuba, by the way, down to Guantanamo, I know exactly what you're talking about. And you and I can share this because we both had the experience. What is the one thing that blew you away? And then I'll tell you from your visits to Iraq, Afghanistan, then I'll tell you what mine was.
One thing that blew me away. I think a lot of things blew me away, but just really the intensity of the troops on the bases and everybody walking around with a weapon. Everybody walking around with a weapon.
And it looked like a college campus because a lot of those kids are 18, 19, 20.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're walking around with weapons, and it's just like, wow, like, where's mine? Yeah.
The thing that blew me away was, and I had several players, a couple of Hall of Fame players with me, and everything was that they thanked us so much for coming that we were there to say thank you to them, and they could not say thank you to us enough. And that kind of blew us away. And I had a friend of mine, a couple of them had their Super Bowl rings with them, And Spencer Tillman let the troops wear it and everything. I said, hey, Spence, aren't you a little bit concerned? He said, Ronnie, he said, I never let anybody wear the ring that I can't catch. We have a very special young lady with us in the studio. Her name is Tammy Brawner, and she is a rookie Harlem Globetrotter player. She is only the 10th woman in 87 years of the history of the Globetrotters, and the only third woman in the last 20 years to put on one of those Globey uniforms. And her nickname is Tea Time. She went to Cal State Northridge, where she graduated with a degree in criminal justice. She is a very, very talented player. And when we come back on the other side, I'm going to introduce another very talented player who played 13 years in the National Basketball Association. And I'm going to let these two basketball players go back to back to back as we continue with Sports Byline.